Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, guys, there's nothing more that I wanted to do than drive 4.5 hours home after running dead last and stack some pains with you guys and talk about how great my day was yesterday. So buckle up. It's going to be a hell of an episode. We got some sprinkled tires. We got Martin Truex Jr. running everybody, and we got me just putting around. Let's break it down. Right now, welcome to Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is, I'll tell you, these aren't the fun ones. When you run like a broke and then you have to drive here and you have to sit here and talk about it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm Corey. I drive the 7 Camaro each and every week. This week was not one of our best, probably one of our worst, actually, as a team. So we haven't even had our post-race comp meeting. I'm sure that should be interesting. We got a couple things we're going to go over and figure out what the culprit was. Joined by front tire changer Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang, Ryan Flores.
Yeah, we didn't have a great day either, but I was thinking that yesterday when I saw the end of the race, kind of the rundown, I said, yeah, the last thing you want to do is come in there and talk about it.
That sucks. Just a
crappy day.
Even after COTA, you have a good qualifying effort, you get banged up and finish 25th, it's still like hard to just come in here and talk about it when you feel like you don't do good.
But the people get it, good or bad.
They're along for the ride. I feel like they're emotionally invested in my career, which makes me even more let down when we don't execute for them. But before we get into my exciting day, the modified race is fantastic,
dude. We drove up there. It was a great race.
Yeah, won by Johnson Bonsignor, almost photo finish there with Silky, and 3 and 4 side by side, bounce Nerf bars off each other.
Late race caution. I know that there was a little bit of a scrum on the backstretch there.
Yep,
that was the first people talking the weekend about should the caution have come out or not, because it would have put Doug Kobe.
Depends who you ask.
The caution was out. It's the same for everybody.
I don't love a restart. I've never loved how, whether it's ARCA or modifieds or any regional series, when they go to a track that has timing loops, they don't use them.
Oh, they don't?
No, they go back to the last completed lap. But that's into the weeds.
That is into the weeds.
But nonetheless,
I'm sure there's a reason for it.
Because it's just what they do for all other tracks.
So I guess,
they
yeah.
keep it consistent. So shout out to Justin Bonsignor. Then, hey, fast forward, Bubba Pollard on Saturday.
Dude.
Right out of the box, first group. I don't think people realize how big of a swing a green track to a rubbered up track is at Richmond. It's the worst track on the schedule for, or I guess best track or worst track, probably call it worst track, for if you are the first car on a green racetrack, green meaning no rubber, it is fast, like half a second.
More than Dover?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because Dover, you have the banking. Richmond, you don't have the banking. It's wore out.
Okay.
It's legitimately worth 4/10, almost a half second. And in a short track, that's quite a bit. So you saw Bubba Pollard lay a heater down. Never driven an Xfinity car in his life. P1 in practice. Regardless, that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that was great.
Unfortunately for him, he had to qualify first. So the advantage of it going out first in Group A is the biggest disadvantage of going out first in Group A to qualify, because track is rubbered up. And then you just legitimately are going to run half a second, almost more than that, off the pace.
He also had a good lap, too, didn't he?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I already, got clipped the apron or something. But he got Meyer back, 15th, 18th.
Yeah, and put tires on it at the right time with, everybody else. There was, 7 or 8 guys to put tires on and run 6th.
I love to see it. Great job. I thought the car looked great. I thought the fire suit looked great. I thought it was just a overall success.
A lot of Bubba-powered merch.
Was there?
A lot of Bubba-powered merch at the racetrack. I saw the t-shirts and a couple hoodies, and I'm like, man, I want to get me a Bubba-powered t-shirt. I just didn't. I was too lazy to go to the merchandise tent and get one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll order one.
Yeah.
I'll wear it next week on the show. That was pretty cool to see. Hopefully he gets another shot at it.
Yeah, I was pumped to see that. I went to Tri-County Saturday up there.
For the smart
I want to make my kids, like, enjoy racing like I did. But they, like, with our jobs, right? Like, when they go to the racetrack, they go to MRO. They're not, like...
Yeah.
Like, when I went to Wall Stadium playing in the dirt, like, they didn't... They never... You know, like...
Yeah, it's different.
So, we went... You can back your truck up or car, like, to the fence. You can pay, like, tailgate at the racetrack. So, we did that on Saturday. They really enjoyed it. Brought our bikes and hung out there. So, that was a lot of fun. So, I didn't get to see it. Oh, it was so much fun. That was like, easy. It's a 4 o'clock start. So, it wasn't late night. We were home by 7.
Sports short tracks.
But, yeah, that was... Newman won it. Beat my buddy Jimmy Blewett. It was cool because they kind of try to explain to people, like, cup drivers are pretty good. And he figured it out. He was running, like, right the edge of the rubber, running the top. It was real wide racetrack, so you can move around. And
yeah, you don't get the nickname Rocket Man for being.
There's a reason he's won a Daytona 500 in a bunch of cup races.
Yeah.
So that was fun, but it all led to Sunday.
Yep. So we unloaded. We were in Group B. And I was concerned then at how tight our car was. We were 35th in practice. Had a decent lap in qualifying, qualified 21st. And there's always a little bit. So, you know, we go back and we debrief in. I'm like, I don't know. The 20 degrees more steering wheel angle I have in this unit is a little bit concerning.
So you had more wheel in it than usual.
Like a lot.
Ooh.
And, you know, you look at the 11, you look at the 23 and the steering wheel traces on those, even the 11 and the 20, granted, they're teammates, so their steering wheel traces are pretty neutral, right? The you see an in-car camera there, and you're kind of holding, you're nursing a free-end condition, trying not to slip the right rear. And then when you get to the middle of the corner, you just want to, like, bend it just a little bit. And it seems like the fast cars don't have much wheel input. The 11, you know, he's somewhere around 10 degrees, 12 degrees, and it's a nice, smooth. The 22 was also fast. The 19 was fast. Those guys just have.
So they were 10 degrees and you were 20?
It was like 45.
And not before the race. You were 20. You were 45 degrees in practice when you were looking at
it? It was a lot.
Damn. So even you can run a fast lap like that, but it's going to fall on its face because you're going to burn the right front off.
Yes. And you burn the right front off more. On sprinkle tires.
Yes, we did.
So I think everybody's always a little bit nervous when they see the rain tires come out just because there's unknowns.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
On places we haven't raced these rain tires before, you know, Chicago, I think if you took a poll, an anonymous poll, because people wouldn't tell you the truth if they knew their names were attached to it, everybody before Chicago was a chicken because you just like street course. Not knowing what we're doing, and in the absolute torrential downpour. But everybody figured it out, and it was pretty cool. So I was cool to see. I was like pumped up. Hey, let's get going. Some sprinkle tires. First time at a cup points race, we let them roll out. And this is, guys, this was the perfect condition for these tires. Little bit of mist, not much. Track was damp, but not wet. No standing water. Let's go ahead and get these people's attention at 7 o'clock prime time Easter Sunday. And they let us go. That was pretty cool. The track was pretty dry. You know, the track surface was damp, but no standing water. The paint, I don't know if anybody knows this or not, the paint is like uber slick. So you want to make sure you get your braking initiated, not on a paint. There was one time I saw the 8 do the same thing. The 14 did it a couple times. Where you start braking and your right front just happens to be on a hash mark and it just locks right up and you go, it feels like you're going 200 miles an hour straight into the wall. And then you're just like off the brake trying to get the tire to catch up to how fast the car's going. It was fun. The track was super wide.
How much different was the grip level there than when you put slicks on it? Let me ask you this. In practice, when you guys practiced, how much different did the car drive in practice than it did?
I think whatever your car was doing in practice or however it ended up being on slicks, it was just exaggerated on rain tires. If you're a little bit tight, it's going to be tighter because you piss off the right front tire and it's going to wear it out more. If you're a little bit free, you're going to get freer.
See, you said everybody freaks out because I'd say, like, you talked about Chicago and then here, like, everybody's kind of nervous because, yeah, I think.
there's not many, like cheery smiles going on in pre-races when you see, like, a little bit of rain, a little bit of chatter, some guys bustling around.
Everybody that's cup racing is, like, prepared for everything. Everything is calculated. Everybody's prepared. Everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. If it's a little tight, I'm going to do this with air pressure. I'm going to make it. Everybody's got a game plan. Then you throw this in the mix, and everybody's game plan goes out the window. That's why everybody's so pissed off and nervous.
Yeah.
Because, like,
this is not how I saw it going.
Yeah, everything's calculated down to the tenth of a second, you know? And it's like, uh-oh. That's why I think you see everybody kind of go, like, throwing red flags.
So,
that's what makes the racing better. Same thing that we just saw in Bristol, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, everything is calculated so much that sometimes it does make the racing not
visually
as exciting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You need to be like, hey, we're going to put a jump on the front stretch today.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need something there
yeah.
to make it different.
Yeah, so I think the sprinkle tires are NASCAR's version of a joker lap. There's some comers and goers. You guys, we're talking about, you guys lost some track position there.
Got it back.
Yeah, the 12 and the 2 came back.
Burn our front off.
Yeah, we kind of maintain like 23rd, 4th, 5th, somewhere in there.
You said something that was, because I've heard everybody talk about sprinkle tires, but you said, I was super thankful for it because we all have sat through rain delays.
It's brutal.
Right? And we saw how much they tried to drive pit road, and there was a hold up waiting to drive pit road. It would have just been that waiting to drive the racetrack. But with the, what do they call them? The deals that go and take the air tightens.
Yeah.
The air tightens go, they take that top layer of water off.
Yeah.
Bolt the sprinkle tires on and go race. It's saved so much downtime. We would have been sitting there for 2 hours.
Well, they say if you miss out on that initial wave of viewership, you know, people sit down, all right, cup races at 7, and they see that it's raining and it's on a postpone or weather hold, people just don't tune back in.
What'd you say? How much do you think they lose?
Generally double digits of viewership.
Wow.
I just saw something today, the Daytona 500 was down because we raced on Monday, like 20-something%. Everything else is up.
Yes. Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 7%. So to be able to captivate those guys and say, hey, we're racing, we're on different tires, but actually, hey, look, the viewing perspective is actually better because there's cars all over the place, people sliding around, smashing into each other.
Not to mention the people at the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was perfect.
It doesn't make their night too long.
It's better. It's made
shout out Goodyear. Thanks for them sprinkle tires.
I think that we work forward to go, okay, like, pit road was really wet. So I think there's some things to think about there. Like, because I want it to be a competition, pit road all the time. And I want you, like, when they start with rain tires, I want them to tell you what you're going to start with.
Yeah. And pick on when you go to dries.
And then there's a point in the race where they go, okay, no more rain tires. Right?
Yeah.
Or once you take rain tires off, you can't go back. Because they're softer.
Yeah.
So say that you go to your dries and then there's a 5-lap run before the end of the stage.
Fire the sprinkle.
Someone's
going
to come in and put the rain tires on.
What's wrong with that?
Not much unless.
Nothing.
It depends on the situation. I don't know. If you don't have any rain tires and you're leading, there's going to be a lot wrong with it. Unless if you're running 20th and you're the only one with rain tires, you're going to love it. So it depends on what truck you're standing on. But I would like to see it kind of up to the teams to create some parity. And like F1 does, right? You can put rain tires on, you're going to keep slicks on.
Yeah.
And make it a competition, like a competitive pit road. It is, I would say maybe you take 10 miles an hour or 50 or 20 miles an hour off pit road speed if it's wet. Mm. And keep it competitive. I think there's something to work through there, but this is, like we said, one of the first times that we've done it, and that is a very challenging pit road. I saw, and we'll cover it on Boats and Wheels.
It's a funky pit road.
It's tight,
wide, narrow.
A lot of cars on the lead. We're on the lead lap early.
It's
Everybody's
a fast pit road speed too.
The cars are on you quick.
Yeah,
but I'll wrap it up here by saying I think that this was an overall success. I think we can make it better by leaving a little bit more in the team's hands to create parity. I'd love to see half the cars on rain tires and half the cars not, and having to make that choice on when you're going to switch, just like F1 does. Because I think, you know, F1 gets pretty stale until you see a rain race, and I'm like, oh, let's watch. And then you see if there's a lane drying out and a guy comes in and fires on slicks and gains 5 seconds. I'd like to see that for us, and I think we get to a point
it's looking pretty
where
good.
We can do that.
Yeah, looking pretty good.
Heck yeah.
Those sprinkled tires are something to mess with. I'd love to see them a little bit more. I don't know if there's many tracks that, you know, like a Richmond, Martinsville. I mean, what other? Wilkesboro.
Well, Iowa. We're going to Iowa. We're going to, I mean, I think it's something you can do at Pocono. I think it's something you can do at Loudoun.
You're hauling ass in turn one at Pocono.
Well, just lift, man. There's a freaking brake pedal.
You know, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't think it's great at mile and a half because it's too, you're too bent. You know, you're on the throttle too long. Yeah. You have to lift at Pocono.
Gateway. Yeah. Well, there you go. Sprinkle tires, always a success. At that point in the race when we put those on, it was about lap 7. I'm like, oh boy, it's going to be a long night because we struggle with our front end in practice. We did a couple things. Did some rear bar stuff, did some toe things in the front, did some wedge, did some platform changes, and I think we made it worse because we went from being not so good to being very bad and just struggled the rest of the night.
It's one of those places where if you get off too, man, you could be really off, just like you guys. I mean, just like you guys were. It's a very challenging
you're off a
racetrack.
And you're dead last.
Well, you're off a 10th, and then it turns into – what it turned into last week at COTA, time over distance, because there's not a ton of cautions.
Yeah.
And then...
Dude, we were doing shock adjustments. We changed the toe during the race.
Yeah, you had a bad day.
We had a bad day.
You had a bad day. I didn't know if you had gotten messed up on the sprinkle tires, if you got hit and got the toe knocked out or what, but
no,
you and Sparks have some digging to do this week.
We got some digging to do going to Martinsville. We've ran well there in the past, though, so excited to put this one behind us. That was one of those where... yeah, Sparks was like, oh, let's just, you know, 60 to go here. Let's just finish around. What do you need? I said, I just need this thing to be over.
Just get me home. I was going to stay here tonight, but I'm driving home because I don't want to look at this place in the morning.
I don't want to wake up and see Richmond. Yep. I literally was like, honey, Kelly was asleep in the back. I said, get up.
We're going home.
We're freaking going home.
Yeah. Wake the kids
Ruck
up.
Ruck Fitchman. That's what I said when I left.
What'd you say?
Ruck Fitchman.
Oh, I hear you. Where were you at on that green flag cycle when the Akash came out for the A car?
I don't know.
Yo, it didn't help you? Didn't hurt you?
I don't know.
You're past the point of no return.
Yeah. That I don't really remember. I think we were on the what would have been a beneficiary side of it because I saw that we were on the very end of the line relative to the leaders. So usually that works out pretty good if you maintain our lap. But the marbles, you couldn't really see them. I don't know if there was sand or dust or whatever. But if you get up, I'm talking a tire width. Especially over a long green flag run when the track doesn't get blown off in between yellows, there's a lot of dust and a lot of marbles that are created from these tires now, which is a good thing, but that's what you generally see over a really long green flag run. Somebody will just put their rights a little bit too high. Darlington's bad for it as well. Obviously, Bristol, we saw that, but you get a long couple stops and all that. You can see generally somebody sticking the fence just by getting their tires up in the marbles, and it's over for them.
I think that
was yellow.
So, all right. This is what I've heard. A lot of people going, well, they let people do that at Bristol. They let it happen at Bristol. They didn't throw a caution at Bristol. Well, we're talking apples and oranges here. At Bristol, we kind of understood by the time we got into the second stage that there was going to be tire issues and there was going to be stuff going on. We couldn't just keep throwing cautions for it.
Yeah.
I say we. I don't have anything to do with it. It ain't we nothing. I'm not throwing cautions for anything. But NASCAR understood what was going on. Everybody understood what was going on. A green flag cycle started. People were staying out, banking on there to be a caution.
Yeah.
So They don't throw one because they genuinely don't. When I look at this situation, that cars were not wrecking. The A car had a bad angle at the fence, like he blew a tire.
Yeah.
He hit the fence. When they called caution when they like when you if he you look at it, he was in the fence. You didn't know he was just gonna turn down and throttle up.
Yeah.
When people hit the fence like that, especially in the middle of a run, it looks like they blew a right front or broke a rotor.
Yeah.
Right. So we can sit here and crucify NASCAR, but if you just take the situation for what it was, nobody was running into the fence like that. There wasn't a bunch of people having issues.
Yeah.
It did. If I watched that from the grandstand, I'd be like, oh man, he blew a tire.
Yeah.
Which
that's what it feels like when you get marbles on it because you are just a passenger at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to crucify NASCAR for that. It was caution.
I could tell he wasn't in a great mood either. Him and I both had probably similar days. He just finished several spots ahead of I did.
So where'd you see him at?
I get out and we parked what seemed like getting into three. You know, that's how far back we were when we got out of the car. And I just beelined it to the truck, chains, jumped in the golf cart. I'm cruising out and he's by himself walking out of the tunnel in his fire suit. Damn, cool shirt thing flapping in the breeze, you know, and he's on a mission. And he just walked out of the tunnel and I'm cruising up. I'm like, yo. Do you want to walk it off or do you want to ride? And he was like, he looked back and forth at me like, I'll take a ride. And he jumped in the back, just silence the entire time.
He said, I'll take a ride? He didn't even say anything.
No, he said, I'll take a ride. So I gave him a ride.
You guys have had a little bit of beef.
But I feel like we're cool now because I gave him a ride in my golf cart.
But he didn't talk to you the whole time?
No.
Did he even say thanks?
Yes.
Okay. So he just sat there and didn't say a word the whole time?
That's the same thing I did too.
Did you have any small talk?
No.
Hey, how about that ride in?
Yeah, how was your night? It sucked. How was your night? Yeah, mine sucked too.
A lot of beeps for Sean and Jeff and Danny today.
It's a beep kind of show.
He's mad.
Yeah.
So he had nothing to do to the RCR bunch. It's been a rough start.
They've been a step behind what we're generally used to seeing out of that Randall Burnett RCR group, especially to start the season. But hey, that guy's one of the best to ever do it. Let's not forget. So they'll get her turned around.
I'm happy that your guys' beef is over, but I did see a fresh beef stir up on pit road.
What?
And I didn't know what it was about, but I think Jeff has the clip here. The four car parked right in front of us, and Suarez was just down there giving them the business after the race.
Ooh, some carnitas. Josh Berry was hauling ass.
He was running second at one point. Yeah.
He makes the decision to cut me off.
That's a tough spot right there. You know, you're looking in your spot mirror, kind of looking in your rearview mirror. You're wanting to shut that hole. And there's so... Yeah, he was trying to cut him off there. And the four was committed. He was in there, right front fender. I don't put that all on Josh.
Your fault.
Okay.
And I was like,
that's what it do.
Beef. Love it. We love
some carne asada.
We love.
We love some good beef. Who knows when that 99.4 beef is going to rear its head again?
Yeah.
What else we got?
I think we hit the commercial and come on back with more.
Shall we?
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, guys, welcome back to Stag and Pennies. Several more video clips to break down, a lot more stuff to cover. The moment that set up the race-changing event. Two to go. You see Bubba Wallace in that McDonald's Camry just so sniff on that left rear quarter panel of the five at the start finish line. So the five.
That was more than a sniff.
Oh no, I mean he.
That
he,
was
he did a little more. He did a little more. He scratched and sniffed it. Man, where the five is, where his right side tires are up by the wall, there's so much rubber there, and you're just trying to squeeze. Where the 23 rolled to his left for a quarter, when your left side's in that cleaner asphalt, you have a little bit more launch. And I don't know if the 23 was on a tire advantage there or not, but he was just chasing. You're chasing it here, chasing it, trying to blend, and it was just enough to get the five. I wouldn't call it a mistake. 23. He's going to the front, man.
He said it was a mistake.
He did?
Yeah, he went up to Bubba. He went up to Kyle after the race, and he was like, hey, man, you know that wasn't on purpose. And, like, I got free and got you. He said, I understand if you're mad. And Kyle said, well, it worked out for me. He said, yeah, it was karma. Yeah. Karma's real. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, and then Bubba said, I'll take whatever's coming to me, is what he said.
Okay.
And Larson was just like, yeah. I don't.
Hey, thanks for the third place, man.
Larson's like, yeah, everybody ran into me in the last three laps, and it worked out just fine for me. Top five bonus. I'm going
home.
Like, Larson's the only son of a gun that can spin out and freaking gain spots. I have no idea because
get spun out for fifth, and then he finishes second two laps.
Well, late. Let's go back to before they spun out. Like everybody that is talking about how crappy the race was. There
this is a
three
bit
guys,
of a purist. Like Richmond is now turned into a racing
and
purist.
And we sit here and we preach this all the time. But for me, it was exciting because the run had gone, like, done its full cycle. And there's like 10 to go. Joey gets clear. They kind of get clear of traffic. Joey's hunting down the 19. And he's kind of driving in straight. Working the apron, then he gets to the 19. He starts getting tight, so he kind of drives him straight, moves up a lane, starts working on his drive, yeah. And he gets within like a half second, but kind of stalls out. Looks like Martin did everything he needed to do to win the race. All the while Joey's trying to figure out how to catch Martin, the 11 car is catching Joey, so it's like pretty technical.
And they're coming back around to the white.
They're coming back to the white, and we're next to the 19 on pit road. Caution comes out, and I'm like, I have been there. Remember when Clint Boyer got spun out?
There?
That ended up shutting down MWR.
Oh, when his elbow was itch?
Hey, my elbow's itch. I was on the 39. We were the ones that were leading that they spun out to, and we ended up getting beat off pit road in like the same exact situation, like two to go. I have been there. I have lost a race on pit road like that there. So I'm like, it's money stop time. It's been a little bit of a rough year for the 19 car guys. And
of course. They've been the dogs.
Hey, this might lead us right to
pit road boats and woes.
Pit roads, boats and woes, and we've been telling you all year. So it sets it up for the money stop. It's the
first off, can we shout out Cameron for donating that sweet Dale Earnhardt pitcher that is behind you? They're in the middle of a money stop right there, a smoking 27-second stop.
Hall of Famer Kirk Shelmerdine
changing front tires.
Yep, he got that knee pad from a local volleyball.
You
got
to go to YouTube and see
vendor.
That. Anyways.
So, yeah, you set it up. It's the 19 leading, the 22, and the 11, right? The 19 has been up and down all year on pit road.
And the 23 is now fourth or fifth?
The 23 is fourth.
Okay.
So it's the 19, the 22, and the 11 are, like, all under a blanket. And then the 23 is a little bit back because there's lap cars in between.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
this
full-blown money stop, Richmond, green-white checkered.
Easter Sunday.
Yep. You wanted it. You got it. Come down pit road and we're like glued to the TV because we're taking the wave around. So we're like race fans at this point in time. And they show the 19, get off the right side clean. They couldn't get the left rear. Couldn't get the detents, had to pop the left rear twice to get the
19 did.
Yeah. To get the nut, like the socket engaged on the nut. So that cost them. And then the 22, when Graham came around on the left side, his jack didn't drop all the way.
On the 22, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's a thing. Like, it's how fast the jacks drop.
Well, first, let's do it in order. We'll see the winning
car.
So,
I am doing it in order because the 22 and the 19 pitted before the 11 because they were deeper down pit road.
Okay.
So, like, we're watching the 19, the 22 gets off the right side clean. his jack doesn't go down all the way. And the low left side jack peg. Yeah, they're going fast. Yeah, it didn't get engaged there on the left rear on the 19.
That right there. Run that back. That little bit. I mean, what's that? 3/10 of a second?
No, it's like a...
Is that half
so
second?
So, it's probably...
That little, like...
Yeah.
So is you, the difference.
If you don't come down pit road, they both did 10-2-9. So, let's watch the 22s here. So, they get off the right side clean. Doink. See, I had to just reset the jack real quick. He did a really great job with that. He knew that his... So, on the jack, the... When you let the jack down, you're going so fast now that the jack literally can't close fast enough to keep up with you.
Mm.
And it just didn't close all the way. So when he came to the left side, Richmond has really low left side jack peg heights. So it just didn't go under. He had to reset it. Both of those guys end up doing 10-2-9 is what the official time was. If you don't do a 9-4 on the money stop, you're probably going to get beat. And that's where the 11 car, they came out like right next to each other.
Did they?
But the 11 comes in and they do a low 9. A
lot of rear brake in that unit side in the box.
Yep, just a clean stop. Really was nothing flashy. It wasn't their fastest stop of the year. But look, all of this right here, right, is fine and dandy. Fastest stop of the year, fastest average, that's all fine and dandy. There's only one thing that matters, and it's can you win races, right? So that is where the 11 team, yes, a lot of show. Right?
But they got the go.
And they also got the go. So
and the
go. They've got the fastest stop of the year. They've got the best average of the year.
Man, cleared them right out, too.
And as far as money stop goes, they have won the first money stop of the year, where, like, a guy come in third, jump both of them,
win the
goes
race.
On the win the race. Look at Dylan Dow there, fired up.
Should be. They know. They got – I just want to be – just half as good at anything in my life, as good as Denny Hamlin is Richmond.
Denny's pretty good, but like
or Darlington. There's just like a couple tracks where it's like he's the best to ever do it.
He's freaking good. Well, and he was good in the old car. And we talked about William Byron last week, but he's like we talked about some of the older guys struggling, coming over, getting used to the next gen car, seamless. And Denny knows how to play the game. We'll get to that later with the restarts and all that, but. I really wanted to give the dogs of the week to like the 5 car because
how are you gonna do that?
They crushed it, but I can't. They keep
no,
putting
can't.
Me the 11 car keeps putting me in a box where I have to give them the dogs of the week every week. And
is it 3 in a row?
I'm not giving it to them. They're earning it. The 24 got them last week, but they just live
at the top of the
rent
heap.
Free in the dogs of the week. That's them.
Somebody's got to take it from them.
Somebody's got to take it.
Because they're the top dog right now.
Hey, look, we ain't giving to them. They're earning it.
They are earning it.
Good for them. The 5 car, like we said, gets spun out. And then I look back at the restart, and he's 4th. And I'm like, what in the hell? So they were in pit stall 1. They crushed it all day. I think they probably have the best average. I haven't seen the numbers yet. But they come in. He must have got the ship righted, and there wasn't a ton of cars right around him. So they come in, do 9-1. He jumps because the 23 came in here. I think we have the video queued up. The 23, you're going to come around the left side. So they're in the money stop hunt, too.
Oh.
That right there.
No.
I have yelled at more people at pit practice for doing what Austin Dickey did right there. To me, that is an absolute freaking no-no. And I don't mean to roast Austin here, but your jack guy puts the left rear on, Jordan. Jordan Page puts the left rear on, and rear changer has a little bit of an issue going on with the left rear nut, but Austin Dickey, the front changer, just leans over and drops the jack.
Yeah, time to go.
No, it's not time to go.
Yeah, it is.
It's not your job.
Should be.
No, that, so, yeah, but if they let Adam Hartman, the rear changer, if he missed his button or just didn't engage, right? If he just fixes it, they lose 3 or 4 tenths,
yeah.
Right? He reaches over, grabs the jack, and they dump all their track position, take away a good day. I don't know if that's how they're coached to do it over there. So, like, I don't want to bash them too hard, but it's 1,000% the wrong thing to do. Because when you, like, I'm a front tire changer, right? When I see a problem on the left rear, like, it's, like, you kind of want to, like, drop the jack. But that is a very important job, like, the jackman's job is the most important job in racing. It signifies when the tires are on the car and when the car leaves. Like, you gauge off everything you do leaving the pit box on when the jackman drops the car.
So I do know at our place, or being Hendrick, they teach those, they tell those guys, the front changers, to reach for the jack and race the jackman.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
To rip it.
They're wrong, because that's what's going to happen, okay? The 3/10 that you're trying to gain there is going to cost
could
you...
Could be the difference.
Could, well, be, could cost you 10 spots, put you the last car in the lead lap. So, like, yeah, if I'm the pit coach, the numbers are fine and dandy, right? Did we keep our guy in the race or not? They so for the amount of time that Jordan Page would have reached around and grabbed the jack and dropped it, 2 or 3/10, you're reaching there and trying to drop it yourself, I will die on that hill that that's the wrong thing to do. But
and that's the hill.
That's my car. I don't get too passionate about too much stuff, but like, I used, there was a guy that we had at Penske that used to do it, and I used to jump him all the time. Like, why are you doing that? Let the jackman drop the car. Because what I think about a lot is 2 years ago, Chris Bell's jackman at Phoenix, he put the left rear tire on. His finger got stuck between, like, in the caliper or something.
Ow.
Right? So if that front changer turns and drops the jack, not knowing what's going on, that guy's hand's gone, dude.
Not about hand, his finger.
I think his arm might be gone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't need all 10.
Might rip his whole arm off.
That's why God gave you 10. You can give up a couple.
But that's where it's like, it's not, I don't know. I don't, it's not your job.
Okay. Just change tires, man. Don't drop the jack.
Don't drop the jack. He won't. I bet he won't now.
Maybe.
But
what if that's the difference? What if he rips the jack next week and that gets him off pit road to Martinsville in the lead? Then I'm going to say, it back here and give him the dog of the week.
Okay. I hope he does. I don't know. I'd still say it was the wrong thing to do. I think the risk outweighs the reward. I don't love it.
That's a decent point.
Yeah, I think the risk.
In this instance, clearly.
I think in any
instance. It was not worth it.
I'm dying. Listen, I don't plant my flag on the hill often, but I will plant
that's
my
one.
Flag there, and I have since we started doing this pit stop. Like, yo, now there's situations, right? Like, where the jackman's doing a left side adjustment where the changer has to drop it. But you saw, like, even with that last year at Richmond, where we dropped the jack and the wedge wrench went out of the pit, like, went out,
yeah,
on pit road, because it's a very sketchy, like, when the changers are dropping the jack, it's sketchy.
So
on the roster, he's listed as the jackman.
Let him
jack. His job is to jack the car up and let it down,
and also hang a tire.
And but yes.
But, you know, who's counting?
And on the roster, I'm the front tire changer.
All right, so
I'll
we put
tires.
To bed. We have seen now the money stops, the comers and goers. The 11 car gets, the 11 pit crew gets his boy out front, control car for the restart and the green white checkered. So we're setting up Denny, Truex front row. We're going to break that restart down right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, we are lined up, double file, restart, shootout style. The fat lady's warmed up. She's already singing. The pay window's open up. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be the 11? Or is it going to be the 19 who feels like he's already had this win taken away because he already had probably a new fishing boat already bought, calculated his winnings, coming back to the one to go. Now he's like, oh, shoot, I got to work for it. The 11 car is in the control seat here.
But before we even get going, the 19 is laying back, which is, if we're getting into rules, that's illegal. He's laying back. You're supposed to be nose-to-nose pace car speed. So if we are going to hold everybody at freaking rules, right, laying back is an advantage. What's the rule?
When they say lagging back, they mean like the guy like third in line.
What's the rule? Nose to nose pace car speed.
I don't think they say nose to nose.
I don't know. That's my rule. I just made it up.
I don't think so.
But if you're Denny, you're a veteran. He is length. He's out of your vision.
See, my opinion. Grant, I don't start in the front row very often. I've done it several times. Had a couple good ones when I've been up there. And if I'm Grant, let me preface this. They're racing for the win. You have the advantage. If you're on the outside, you can put your window right next to his exhaust pipe. So wouldn't you want to give yourself a little bit of like a, because you're always going to be late to the jump, whether it's 10th, whether it's a couple tenths of the leader when he goes, because he fires first.
I always want
to
be.
Wouldn't you want to be a half a tire up?
That's what just I want to be, hear? Half a tire up.
You're at a disadvantage because you don't have the control car. You don't know when he's going to launch, but you have to anticipate that Denny, with his IQ being what it is going to go early, make NASCAR say, hey, I'm going to do a warning type restart launch here.
And I'll take you one further. He's running third before the caution comes out, so yes, he knows that the 19 car
is the best car. Yeah.
So you're not going to, you just got this, the pit crew just gave you the lead. You're not going to give it up. Pay window's open.
Pay window is opened up wide open.
So he
checker flag's in hand.
So let's watch. Give me your live reaction here.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know how much the 19 didn't go versus when the 19 went. I think that's clean.
But does it matter when the 19 goes or not if he launches before the line? It's right there at it.
It's before the line.
It is, yeah.
We were talking about this before the show. I don't think that it's a out of bounds, in or out, black and white call as some fans would like to see. If you're a Denny Hamlin fan, you're going to say that's a great launch. If you're a Martin Truex fan, you're going to say he launched three car lengths before the line, right? So I think in an instance, if they get a yellow,
he caught everybody off guard.
If they get, that's the same thing I would do. I would probably launch.
Amen.
So he goes, holy mackerel. Danny, pause the tape, right? I want to see that here in a second. So when he goes, I think that if they get a yellow, if somebody wrecks in a one and they re-rack it again, they would give a warning.
It's a warning call. Yeah, and
but the fact that like that's not a inbounds or out of bounds type call. That's like a 3 second warning.
It's not black and white. No, right? that's not egregious. Like, it's not egregious enough to take the win away from them. Yes. But like I would go on the contrary, right? The best, like you go on offense. The 19 should have been on offense. The 19 should have put NASCAR in a position. Hey, I lost the lead. Yeah. I got to get the lead back here. I'm not the control car. I'm going to put it like, how many times short track racing have you been like, I'm second. I really need to get down here. I got to kind of clear this guy. I'm going to put it in their hands to call me on it.
Well, now, so they've changed the wording over the last 16 months, and they've been pretty strict about launching first. So they can go look at SMT, and they'll have a SMT line right up, and they can see who tips in first. They've got an official right there on the outside of that restart zone also watching.
You didn't need SMT to see who launched first there.
You don't need it. It's very clear.
Just the organic eyeball will tell you that.
But if the 19, who's not the control car, launches, that's clear that he jumped the restart and they're putting him to the back.
Yeah.
The fact that the 11's a control car changes the entire thing.
But if the 19 is further up on his door,
yeah,
like the 11 car essentially fed him the right rear quarter panel. Same thing he did to you at Coda.
Yeah, last week.
And the best is Larson. When they asked him, he was like, yeah, Denny kind of used Martin up, which is what Denny does. That's what he said. I was like,
it's working for him.
Heck yeah, it is.
So after the race, I didn't see all this because I'm, you know, still finishing up. Martin he's on the brakes, on the gas. What?
That's not even the best part. The best part was what he did with Larson.
What? Did he cut a? I think he flat spotted his left front tire.
He says something here too. Oh, here's the line.
There's the line. I mean, clearly before. Was that what he was mad about, or was there an?
He was mad about that. Do you guys have this run all the way through turn one?
So they go up through the gears. 11 gets a great launch.
If you see what he does, if you see what he does to him in turn one, so like they go in there side by side, and he just does one of these and gives him like a bad angle.
Yeah, it's my corner.
Yeah. So that's what he was really mad about. And then he just hooked the.
Oh yeah, he's just mad at this.
Now he's just mad. Watch this, Larson.
Joey's got to feel good about that run. Top.
Look at Larson. Here's the fence.
That's mine.
I think they smashed into each other even more after the line.
I did see that.
Kyle's just going to gas up here. Oh, well, you want to run into me?
Yeah, clear. Thanks for doing business.
Oh. Goink. Yeah, they were running into each other. That leads me to the question of the week, man. Oh,
what's the question? I love a good just scrap at the end.
Is Truex justified for being this mad after the race?
Yeah. I mean, that looks as though he's very, very mad. I think he has a right to be mad. I don't know who he has a right to be mad at.
Probably, I think he's just mad in general. We were next to their picker guys.
Yeah,
they were mad at Bubba.
He's not mad at anybody. Just the fact that he lost because he had the win. I mean, he was in the position. Lost control he's probably a little bit pissed off at Bubba, a little bit pissed off his pit crew, a little bit pissed off at Danny for going early, a little bit pissed off at Kyle for just being on the racetrack at the same time with him. So that's what, and at the end, you're just like, damn it. Smash, smash. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Well, it comes down to, you know, they're on a 23 race now win drought. They've been close a bunch of times. They feel like they've given a bunch away. Not much as it seems like Martin feels like not much has gone right for them early in the season, even though they're the points leader, right? He wants to be winning. So there's a lot of frustration. I think like you said, he's just mad at everything. And it just.
Especially in that context.
Kyle Larson got the brunt of it. I don't know. I'm sure that.
What do you think?
Martin's
what
a very calm guy. Like, he's a calm, cool, collected guy, so I'm sure today he's like, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, well, the post-race driving in the back of your teammate's one thing, because if you rewind, the restart, the using a little bit more space than what you need to in one and two to get a good launch, I feel like that's all fair game.
Well,
I don't think smashing into your teammate after the checkered is a great look.
Martin and Blaney are a lot alike, and I've never worked with Martin, but I've worked with Blaney a lot. And they are going to race a certain way, which is very respectful, kind of the same all the time. And all it takes is one guy like Denny that just uses you up, and then you feel wronged. So,
how do you think that post-comp meeting is?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's very many, like, because both those guys are Hall of Famers.
I don't think Martin even lives here, so he probably just calls in, so that makes it less awkward, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's the type that, like, I could see, you know, the guy with the Zoom and he's got the green screen in the back? I feel like Martin could have the green screen of, like, that he's, like, in his conference room, but he's like, yeah, my car drove pretty good.
he's on the boat.
Yeah, but, like, in the back, it's a zoo. It's just, like, a backdrop of, like, a nice all of his trophy case.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, he's got, like, you know, coasters on. He's got, you know, sunscreen on his nose. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, what'd you say, James? Oh, yeah, it was a little bit tight.
But like, for him to get as aggravated as he is, he's still tapped in. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot
sure.
of talk about retirement with him and, I don't know. He's still good. Like, the team is strong. They just got to clean a couple things up on pit road and finish them off. Like, they were one mistake from the 23 away from winning that race.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Me, Bubba, and Larson sitting there talking in the driver's meeting. Big month coming up for Kyle Larson. Month of May is coming.
Yeah, he's got one more month.
I think they're testing next week or something, maybe, or the next 2 weeks.
He's the only guy that'll be like, like racing full cup schedule, running the full month of May, and then he'll be like, "What? Hey, Kokomo's running Wednesday night with the midgets. Think we can make it after practice?"
Yeah, that's right. Warm that thing up.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. That's, dude, he's crazy.
Yeah, it was funny. I think Bob Pockers asked him like some question about like, does running the truck race the same day or the Xfinity race the same weekend as a cup race help your stamina to get ready for May? He was asking Makota, and Larson like made like that kind of like, come on, man. And he was like, you know, I race like every night of the week, right?
Yeah. His race shape is pretty good.
He would probably just go run the little 500 the night before. Just,
yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Is there a USAC race around here? Yeah, I'll fire it up. I don't have much going on.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. You touched on Denny. Third trophy of the season, 13th season with multiple wins. Four.
Chris said that 11 team is magic.
Magic. There's nothing magic. That's
just hard work.
It's just hard work. Smart people working together. And,
but Chris said it's magic. So we're like some abracadabra.
I hate terms like that. It's
what do you
just
mean?
Magic right now.
It is. Magic.
It's just all coming together.
Yes.
There's inevitably going to be struggles throughout the season.
Speaking of magic.
Tell me about the magic then.
I'll tell you about the magic.
It's just hard work.
No, I'll tell you about the magic. So Saturday night, Kelly's birthday was on Sunday. She's like, I don't want to, you know, we get the kids down at 7:30, 7:45, and like, let's watch a movie. Let's hang out. She's like, I don't want to watch, you know, because I'm picking Band of Brothers. I'm picking, you know, Fury.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picking Inglourious Bastards. I got like three that I could watch on a loop. I don't want to watch some freaking war movie. I want some lighthearted movie.
Ugh.
So you know what I tapped into? Talladega Nights, Unrated. That's... You ever seen the Unrated?
What's different?
It's unbelievable. There's deleted scenes and stuff that I've never seen before. And it freaking had me tickled, man.
Like what? What's the best part?
They talk to grandpa a little bit more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then there's just a couple more scenes with the wife.
Oh gosh.
And Cal Naughton Jr. and back and forth. And there's like an extra like seems like 15 minutes of scenes that I've never seen before.
Can
I was
you,
dying.
Can you
it's hilarious.
Can you quote that like word for word?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but the unrated one I couldn't because there was
Because I wouldn't know if I watched like the regular one or the unrated one. I'm not.
I recommend the unrated one because I've never seen it before. I've only really seen it if it's on like TNT and I'll just stop and watch it for, you know, the rest of the time it's on. But that's what got me thinking about the Magic Man. Denny Hamlin's a Magic Man.
Oh, that Magic Man. Well,
abracadabra, Holmes.
Yeah.
He's got the magic
right
now.
He just wants to go fast.
That's what he does. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that was right down a rabbit hole. But I just wanted to say that I watched Talladega Nights and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Again.
The short track, fourth win in the next gen car on short tracks. He's the overall leader on that. We'll see if we can go to Martinsville. And he's
pretty good there.
He was good there. We were better last year, but he was right there with us. The 12 car just hit on something. So
maybe they can tap in that magic.
Maybe they can take Shamu to victory lane there.
Mm. Had a blue orca riding that thing victory lane this weekend.
Yeah.
They're tough. They got that magic right now. So, hey, I'm not going to argue with that.
I don't think it's magic. I think it's hard work. But
what do you mean? The man said it's magic. Let it be magic.
Those are my thoughts.
It's like Disney World.
Those are
just
my
magical
thoughts. What are your penny for your thoughts?
We got a bunch of penny for your thoughts questions, particularly on Instagram. Keep firing them in.
Yeah, we've given up on Twitter.
Yeah, y'all are weak on X. Fire them in. Hashtag penny for your thoughts. Instagram is popping them. What we got? Got some encouragement too. Appreciate the people. A couple people who DM me said it's been a tough couple weeks, which it has. And you get pretty frustrated when you put all the work in. You feel like you're doing the right things and the outcome isn't what you hope. We've had a little bit of pace at some different races and haven't capitalized. So we're going in a little stretch here. Martinsville. We got Martinsville, Texas. Kansas, some
Talladega.
You know, we got a couple chances to right the ship and recoup some of the points that we've been giving up. I think our potential as a team is much, much higher than what we've shown the last 3-4 weeks. So we just have to show that. It's been frustrating. It's hard to, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, though, you know?
Well, I got some people that have asked the question.
Good.
Is the first one from CW Photo. Is there a big difference in car setup between wet weather, tires, and slicks?
I didn't think so because we didn't change anything on our car. Maybe some air pressure. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we didn't touch anything in the rear window. And then the 11 car was during their hot dog pit stop when we were parked right behind them. He did like 5 rounds in the left rear, 2 rounds out of the right rear. And I was like, oh.
Oh, that's weird. I thought it was all magic.
Oh, I thought it was all magic. Huh. No, maybe they actually have a plan of how to make their car go good in a circle. So that is part of the magic. Yeah. They just, and then they sprinkled some dust on it and blew it away.
Oh. Damn, I meant to bring you these from Leanne E. Golf. How much does Corey LaJoy love Peeps?
There's nothing more I hate more than Peeps.
That's what I meant to stop. I had to rush today, and I meant to stop because I knew you had a rough day to get you a pack of Peeps.
There was nothing
to cheer
more.
You up.
I would have freaking whizzed them at, one at your head, one at Higgy's head, and then I would probably lit the rest on fire like NASCAR Chasm does.
It's not the Peeps' fault.
It is the Peeps' fault.
Here's a good one.
They're gross, dude.
From Uptown Scratch and Chicken Kitchen. Much different. Scratch and Chicken or Scratch and Kitchen? Anyway, what is your favorite Easter tradition growing up, and have you carried it on with your kids?
We didn't do... I remember when I was a kid, I was probably 6. Mom went and got, like, a print of a Easter, like a bunny foot, but it was massive. It was, like, this big. And she did, like, the baby powder, like, on the floor. Like, the Easter bunny would walk around the house. And then I never really understood the Easter bunny, Easter eggs whole type thing. But then we just go outside and get Easter eggs. So they had MRO put on a pretty cool Easter egg hunt. Levi was, he picked up, like, 2 baskets full.
Really?
Yeah. He went ham on the Easter eggs. No, I think for our family, we just make sure that the focus is on the reason for it. It's not the Easter bunny. It's not the Easter eggs or the candy or whatever presents. It's because Jesus resurrected, man.
Yeah.
He's risen. And so we just try to keep that first and foremost. I don't love the fact that we race on it. I wish it was just a full-on family day, hanging out with your family and not have to go work because this 36-38 week schedule is brutal. And then having it's and for us and I say for us for the drivers, you can have your families there. You get your bus, you can hang out. The road crew guys are the ones that really take,
I'll take it further than that.
Hit me.
I was like thinking Sunday how lucky I was.
Yeah,
because we woke up, did all the Easter stuff.
The teams that go out of the way to fly a lot of the guys home,
a lot of teams flew home. And I was like, man, this isn't bad at all. I don't know what everybody's mad about. And then I saw a post from an official. And he's like,
I'm pretty
jealous of the guys that got to fly home. Like, Easter's a big deal for me and my family, and I'm not there. Then I got to thinking about all the people that make the race go on, right? The champion guys.
NASCAR officials,
the TV people. There's just so much, right? Security guards the way down. And it's a heavy lift. But there's that sport. You got to sacrifice a lot to be in the sport. And it's days like that when you feel the sacrifice. You know, there's other days where the burden is not as heavy, but that's definitely one of them if you're not able to be home. For my situation, it was like a day of like being thankful. Like, man, I'm happy I get to do this. This is pretty cool. And like be able to race on Sunday. And
it is pretty cool.
There was a good amount of the parking lot was pretty full in Richmond.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people there, hope maybe making new traditions with their family.
Maybe.
But
I would like it. Would love it, actually, if NASCAR didn't make a tradition racing on Easter. Maybe we have a little bit of a bigger weekend schedule next year without the 2-week block. Maybe they can, you know, maybe they leave that one off.
Yeah.
That'd be my vote. So I don't know. Nonetheless, shout out to Lori and her team up at Richmond for putting on the Easter weekend. Like you said, it's a heavy lift. And they did a good job with it.
Yeah. Yep. That's
Any other questions?
I got one more.
What do you got?
Back to the wet weather stuff. How wet was the track on the first run, and how much did the wet tire package actually help on grip?
I would say that it was moist. Shout out Cameron Moist.
Okay, so let me change the question a little bit.
What?
What would it have been if you ran slicks?
Oh, you wouldn't have been able to. No, it was too wet for slicks.
Not an option.
No.
Couldn't even have tiptoed around.
No.
Really?
No, it was wet.
Do you think that if...
It was above damp, underneath wet. That's why it was moist.
I wish we would have went one more run on the wet weather tire.
Because there was starting to be a dry lane at the end of that third lap run. 25 laps.
If you do another, say, let's call it another 30 or 40 lap run on wet tires, right? Then it will dry your track even more because now you have to run on the wet. So you'll keep progressing up. So then you get...
Yeah.
It would help dry the track. So I almost was... And this is my small viewpoint from pit road because I don't get the full, you know, the full scope. But I was almost hoping that we stayed on rain tires another run. Not for the 12 car because we went back wards, but just for the race in general.
Yeah, the track was really dry. There was 2.5, 3 lanes of completely dry track.
It was.
After that lap 25, 30.
I thought there was only one.
No. No, there was a full 2.
Okay.
So I think, NASCAR did a good job with Audubon there and getting the show on the road.
Yeah.
That's it. Keep firing those questions in. We'll keep updating y'all with some Penny for Thoughts questions and answers. Keep firing them in, whether it's on X, Instagram, YouTube, in the comments, wherever you want to do it. We will see them. You know what really grinds my gears?
What's that?
That I hope and pray that NASCAR doesn't do anything to Joey Gase.
Oh,
absolutely bullseye dart in that bumper into the windshield of Dawson Cram's car.
I saw Dawson Cram.
I think they might have to do something because they don't like it when somebody walks into oncoming traffic, particularly with a body part. But let them race. What boys have at it, like O'Donnell says. Let boys have at it. Throw the bumper. Dude, I was impressed by that. Nice. Squared it right up.
What if Dawson Cram would have hit the inside fence because he was looking at Joey Gase? He almost did. That would have been like a double whammy. I saw that Dawson Cram made a t-shirt.
And did what?
It says it's got his car with the bumper like on the windshield. It says sometimes you're the bumper and sometimes you're the windshield. So, and it's got
Dawson Cram.com?
There it is. I thought it was hilarious. It's got Joey Gase standing there.
Is he going to give him a percentage of the proceeds? How does that work?
No, I would probably say not, but.
Parked him. I mean, didn't really give him much chance.
Dude, the rear window was shattered in that thing. That was a big hit. And that's a big hit for, you know, a team like Joey Gase's.
That's what he said. Did you hear his interview? After
no.
That? It was pretty good one.
What'd he say?
Yeah, I don't like Johnny Davis, I know Johnny Davis doesn't like wrecking cars, and it'd be a big blow for our small team. Maybe, like, I don't know, maybe it's throttle stuff.
That's what he said?
Yeah, something like that.
Huh.
I don't think it did. I think he just wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Well, he got a bumper to the face.
Definitely did. Maybe he was trying to rattle his cage.
I do. I love it. Like, I don't know. I don't want to see anybody get...
It definitely spiced it up.
It's like the restart zone. Just tell them not to do it next time.
Yeah.
Don't give him a penalty for
it. Yeah, that's right. Don't fine these fellas. He's got twins. He needs some diaper money. NASCAR, don't fine Joey Gase.
We've had some spice.
Don't, like, throw it from a little further away next time, not like 3 feet away from a car that's moving 40 miles an hour.
I saw a tweet today from Austin Hill to Martin Truex, and it was like, here, man, and it was a guy handing tissues.
Oh, no.
Like, called him a crybaby. Like, everybody was calling me a crybaby last week. Here you go. I was like, damn. But.
I love a good driver beef on Twitter.
And we're just making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because that's what we do.
That's it.
Well, I'm excited to move on from Richmond, put that behind us, because that was not fair. Not fair. That was not fun. whatsoever. We're going to learn, we're going to get better, and we're going to put the work in this week. Go to Martinsville.
It's a good track for you.
Yeah, we've ran well there. I've got a grandfather clock, I'm a little modified. So I've got some confidence going there and know what we kind of look for a feel. I just hope that we can hit it. Can't afford many of those laying goose eggs like that. That was not fun.
No, I think you guys will definitely be better. And Martinsville is one of our favorite racetracks, so go up there. No better place to turn her around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you get a good qualifying effort, and you get up there and maintain a little TP, a little track position, find your way up in the hunt.
Good luck.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys each and every week. This wasn't one of my favorite ones because I don't love to talk about when we have bad days, but that's part of the deal, and I appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure you like, follow, share, rate, review, all the things, but also whether you listen to us on Sirius XM Channel 90 or any sort of audio, if you get time, just pull up some YouTube. And they do a great job of putting all these video clips up here. We're breaking down each and every week, so you might be able to hear it, but it's way better if you could actually see it as well. And that's all I got. I'm ready to go, like, take a nap or something. I'm freaking tired.
Let's go work out.
Oh, let's do that. Okay. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for stopping by here and stacking pennies.